Are computers evolving to the point where humans will not be necessary anymore? May I add, will God inculcate the computer with knowledge and desire and wisdom enough to know that there's an intelligent designer? And will he put the Holy Spirit in them? Will he dip them in the baptistry and place their name in the Lamb's Book of Life? We are going to talk about computational intelligence. Hey, moms, dads, if you got teenage tween daughters there in the car, have them listen in and emphasize to them they need to date and marry the nerd, because they will be the entrepreneur, the wealthy person, the Bill Gates, I digress. Dr. Robert Marks joins us now, PhD. He's a distinguished professor of electrical and computer engineering at Baylor University. He's co-author of a new book, Introduction of Evolutionary Informatics. He's here with us today to talk about AI, computers, and are they evolving? Are they going to replace humans? Professor Dr. Robert Marks, welcome to the program.
Hi, Terry. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be with you, man.
I'm honored to have you talking about intelligent design. We'll get to that in a minute. This computer named AlphaGo, tell us about that supercomputer AlphaGo. Why do they call it supercomputer, and why are some saying because of the evolution of AlphaGo that humans are no longer needed?
Well, first of all, it isn't evolution in any sense. They might have used something called an evolutionary algorithm to train that, but that was under the supervision of the programmer. But, fundamentally, computers will only do what they're told. That's all they do. There's a great illustration called Searle's Chinese Room, and this illustrates what a computer can do. The idea, and I'm going to butcher the presentation, but I'll get it generally. There's this little guy in a room, and you bring him something in Chinese and slip it through a little slip, and he looks at it and goes over to a bunch of file cabinets. I don't know if people know what file cabinets are anymore, but
barely.
Okay, so he goes over to file cabinets, and he looks for this, and he finally finds the phrase, and then he finds the corresponding English phrase. He takes the English phrase and goes and slips it out the door. This is kind of what computers do, and what does it illustrate? It illustrates that little guy knows nothing about English. He knows nothing about Chinese. He has no understanding of the phrase that he's translating. He's only doing an operation that he was trained to do. And that's all that computers are able to do, is to do exactly what they're told.
Will computers ever evolve into consciousness and self-awareness?
No. And here's the reason, and this is actually taught to all of the freshmen in computer science. The guy that invented the computer was Alan Turing back in the 1930s. He was a main guy in a movie called The Imitation Game, because he was famous for cracking the Nazi Enigma code. But that's not the greatest thing he ever did. The greatest thing he ever did was invent computer science. He was the father of computer science. And back then, he created something called the Turing machine. Now, this was conceptual. It was a little machine that could read and write and respond to commands and things of that sort. But since then, computers have clearly gotten faster. They have gotten bigger, but they have gotten no more creative because, as, again, computer scientists are taught as undergraduates, there is something called the Church-Turing thesis, which says that today's computers can do nothing that Turing's original machine couldn't do. Now, Turing's original machine, it might take it a million years to do it, but nevertheless, it could be done on Turing's original machine. So all of the limitations, at least computationally, of Turing's original idea are still applicable to these supercomputers that we see today.
So the movie iRobot, where the computer really has the robots take over or attempt to take over, the Matrix, movies like that are just sci-fi?
They are. They are totally sci-fi. And the problem that we're on now with this artificial intelligence and all of these all of these movies and these blogs and things which are saying that artificial intelligence is going to be incredible are writing something which I call a hype curve. And I have seen this so many times in my field of engineering. We used to have something called superconductivity. Everybody was really excited about that. I don't know if you remember cold fusion. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, cold fusion. The guys came along. They said, "Oh, we have something which allows us to get energy like we get from the hydrogen bomb,
right,
except we don't need to attain temperatures which are like the core of the sun. We
right,
can do it
right.
at room temperature."
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, everybody got excited. They got on board, and there was Texas A&M and Georgia Tech and even Stanford came along and says, "Yes, we have verified this. It's really, really cool." And what they were doing is they were riding on this hype curve. Then I think it was Caltech that eventually came out and said, "No, you know, there's something problem with this." And then about 4 months later, after Fleshman and Pons, I believe, are the names of the people, the proponents of cold fusion, the New York Times came out and said, "Cold fusion is dead. It doesn't work."
Didn't work. But it was going to be the savior of the energy needs of the world, but it didn't work.
Exactly.
Let's look at this. Then we need to take a break. Dr. Robert Marks is our guest. Professor Dr. Robert Marks, Ph.D., Distinguished Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering at Baylor. He was the first president of an organization now called IEEE Computational Intelligence Society. That's where all the nerds get together and talk about computers, right?
Yes, we do.
And you're not offended? I call you nerd.
No, because I am a nerd.
No, okay, all right.
Just ask my wife. I'm a nerd.
Ask my wife. She'll, I know we're not going to go there. Before we take a break and come back and talk about evolution, is there a designer, like a designer of a computer, is there a designer of the human? Let's look at this before we go to that break, Dr. Marks. What are the true capabilities and limitations of computers?
One of the things is that a computer can only do something called algorithms. Algorithms, think of it like a recipe. You have a recipe for baking a cake. You have your eggs and you have your flour and you put in a certain amount of water and milk and you mix it up and you put it in the oven. So it's a step-by-step procedure. That's all an algorithm is. Computers can only do algorithms. And it turns out there's lots of things which are indisputably not algorithms. They are non-computable, and the nerds would call it undecidable. So there are things which humans can do which are non-algorithmic, which computers can do. I'm sorry, there's things that computers can't do that people can do. And one of them is gain consciousness. A big one, I think, is creativity. A computer will never be creative. It can only do what it's told to do, and it can't be told to be creative. That demand doesn't work.
Well, let me ask this. If you input into a computer 10,000 recipes, and you go to that computer and you say, "I have this much flour, this much yeast, this much this, this much that. What can you make me?" That computer, from what I think you're telling me, can go into its library of 10,000 recipes and sort through the number of ingredients it has, the quantity it has, and it can come up with, "I can make you this." Correct?
Yes, computers can do searches very effectively.
Okay.
And I think this is the problem that we're having with the ASA, you know, mining all of the data and trying to figure out things about people.
NSA. Okay,
yes.
But if the computer does not have a library of recipes and the ingredients needed to make that item, if the computer had no idea what a recipe was, and I just went to a computer and said, "I've got this much flour, this much yeast, this much sugar, this much whatever. What can you make me?" It can't tell you, can it?
It would sit and flub its lips. Unless it had something like an artificial tongue in there where it could try all these combinations and the artificial tongue would tell you which one tastes better. But in general, no,
it could not do that. And friends, that will lead into intelligent design when we return with Professor Robert Marks, Ph.D., Distinguished Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering at Baylor University. We'll be right back.